I'm not sure exactly how far we got. I think we're somewhere at Ayin Dalet on the base. We'll start again from Gozes. The Gemara says Tana Rabbanan about 12 lines from the bottom. Tana Rabbanan says it's a Tosefta. Hatolish es Hakonof. The Hakot Ma Bahamor Techayb Shalosh Chatos. What are the three Melochas? Amar Shimon Melochish Tolish Chay Mishum Gozes. Yeah. Kote im chai mishum mechatech, if he cuts it demido, and memarit chai mishum mechatech. So what is, so we discussed a little bit about gozes. What if I cut off someone's finger? Is that a melacha of gozes? The pashta says gozes is you shear off the wool that grows on the body, or you cut off the nails. That's a Mishnah later on, daf tzarik dalet on the base. The person cuts off his nails, because the nails grow, and it's omed lehikost, omed lehigozes, omed lehigozes. If you cut off someone's arm, that's not a malach of gozes. That's what we discussed, the Sheet Mukubetzis in the first Perek in Ksubis, is discussing what malach is involved if you perform a bris milah on Shabbos. The Gemara says that there's a malach involved, and you're only permitted to perform a bris if it's a milah bizmano, if it's a milah shloi bizmano, a safik milah bizmano, it's not derech Shabbos. So what's the malach involved? So the different opinions in the Rishonim. So the Sheet Mukubetzis says that the malach involved is gozes. So the Dvar Avram raised the issue, gozes should only apply to something like nails, a hair, or a wart. Mishnah in the end of Erev, and a person has a wart on his body, and the doctor cuts it off, a yabelis. It doesn't belong over there. It's not normally there. So over here, if you pull off an ayin dalet on a base, he's pulling out the feathers. Pulling out the feathers from, it's like dead material. He's pulling out feathers from the chicken. If he cuts off a wing from the chicken, the wing, that's not gozes. Gozes, if he pulls off the feathers from the wing, that would be gozes. Atolosh Esakonov is pulling off a feather, I think. Then it's chaymishim gozes. The Meiri has a machlokes over here, machlokes HaRishonim, where the gozes is only if the animal is alive. What if the animal is dead? And most of the Rishonim follow the Tosefta, even though it's never quoted in the Bavli, but the Yerushalmi quotes it, that it says, Beferish HaGozes Ben HaShelach. HaShelach means from the hide. Let's say a person is wearing a leather jacket, and there's hair on the jacket, and he starts pulling off some of the hairs from the jacket. So that's a malach of Gozes, even though the animal is dead already. And some other Rishonim somehow felt that since the Bavli doesn't quote that Tosefta, we shouldn't accept it. A gozes is somehow a form of Natilus Neshama. That while the animal is alive and the hair continues to grow, then you cut it off. So then it's a malach of gozes. Once the animal is dead, so what kind of Natilus Neshama? But that's not the accepted opinion. We assume even a gozes min ha-shelach, from the hide, is also a malach of gozes. I think we discussed a little bit the Mishnah on Tzarik Dalet on the base, where the Mishnah says, if you cut off fingernails on Shabbos, If you rip nails, one finger rips off from the other nail, that's a machlokes atanoim. But then the Gemara says, machlokes biyad, omer ablozer, right after the Mishnah and Tzarik Dalet on the base, the only machlokes atanoim, whether it's the Reis or the Rabbanon, is if you rip your nails, biyad, avo bekli, but if you use a nail cutter or scissors, all the tanoim agree that you're chayv. So Tosis comments on that Gemara, what is he going to do with the nails? After he cuts it up, he's going to throw them out in the garbage. So that should be a malacha shein tzvicha legufa. So that would be a machlokes Reb Yudah and Reb Shimon. What a malacha shein tzvicha legufa is deraisa derabanan. The Gemara that says that if you cut off nails with a nail cutter or with a scissors, that for sure is a malacha deraisa and yechayv chatos. That's alida de Reb Yudah. That's what the little Tosa says. Aval b'kli de mehakol chayv haynu ki Reb Yudah. The mechayv malacha shein tzvicha legufa. But most of the Rishonim Paskan and Shulchan Aruch assume. Malachas Shein Tzvichu Lagov is only the Rabbanon. So by us, we better assume it's only the Rabbanon. The Ramah in Hilchos Shabbos quotes the following din. Let's say a woman has to go to mikveh on Leil Shabbos, Leil Yontif. So she has to make sure she has no chatzitz. So chatzitz means something that's stuck onto the body. Let's say she has very long nails. So is the extension of the nail, is that a chatzitz? That's part of the body itself. So we're machmir. That's also a chatzitza. If a woman has long nails and she wants to have long nails, then that's not a chatzitza. She wants to have long nails. A woman has long hair. She wants to have long hair. So that's part of the body. It's not a chatzitza. But let's say she has long nails and she plans to cut them off. If she cuts her nails once every week or once every 2 weeks or something, and it's not yet adain lo higia hazman, so then the nails are not a chatzitza. But if she has nails and it's higia hazman, she would want to cut off the nails, so she needs, a person needs a haircut. A person feels they need a haircut, and they're prepared to take the haircut today, but they don't have time today, so they're going to go to the barbershop tomorrow. So since they have hair that they plan to cut off, and you don't need an expert to cut off the hair. You go to a barber because he'll do a good job. But it's not like you need a surgeon to cut off the hair. You don't have to go to university to know how to cut nails. So we're machma like the Shitas Haravid. The Haravid wrote a sefer on the laws of Taras HaMishpocha, Bali HaNefesh. So the Haravid in his sefer has an interpretation in the Gemara in Zvachim that according to his pshat in the Gemara, that would be considered a chatzitza. What chatzitza? When chatzitza? The part of the nail that you plan to cut off is not considered batel legabe the guf anymore. So that's a chatzitza on this part, on the tip of the nail. It's a chatzitza on the tip of the nail. And the hair, you plan to cut off the hair. The person feels he needs a haircut. He would like to go today, but he's busy. So he goes to the mikveh today. So the rabbi would say that would be a chatzitza. Why would it be a chatzitza? Because to the end of the hair, the length that he wants it, that's the end of the body, and the rest of the hair that's touching that part of the hair, that's a chatzitza. That's a chumr from the Ravid. That's chumikre din, we don't really hold like that. We're machma like the Ravid. We're machma like the Ravid. Let's say in Shulchan Aruch they discuss it. So let's say a woman went to mikveh and she realizes she forgot to cut her nails. So we would tell her she should go to mikveh again. But what if she already was with her husband? So then when we're going to tell her she should cut her nails and go to mikveh again. So it's going to come out that we're implying that she was over any sikaris. So if Lana and Baila already, so then we don't observe this chumr. This is a chumr. Mikredim, we really don't hold like that, right? But l'chatchila we're machmer for that. So that's why the minig developed that the women always cut their nails before they go to mikveh. The night they plan to go to mikveh, they cut their nails to make sure that there isn't any extra amount that they would plan to cut off that should serve as a chatzitza. So the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch discuss what if a woman has to go to mikveh on Leil Shabbos or Leil Yontif and she forgot to cut her nails on Erev Shabbos. So the Rambam has a heter, she can ask a nochris to cut her nails. That's a shvuz, the shvuz for makam mitzvah. We want to satisfy the chumra of the Ravid. So that's the makam mitzvah. Mikra din, we really don't hold like the Ravid, but to be choshish for the Ravid's chumra, that's considered the makam mitzvah. And Amir the Nochri, whatever you ask a Nochri to do, lowers it down to the level of the Rabbanon. So to ask a Nochri to do a malacha that's only the Rabbanon would be mutam and makam mitzvah. Why is cutting the nails only a malacha the Rabbanon? Because Tosfos says that if you plan to throw out the nails in the garbage, you're going to flush it down the toilet. So then it's ein tzricha legufa. When you give a little baby a haircut for the first time, so you're going to save the hair, you're going to put it away in a photo album, so that's a malacha tzvicha legufa. You're cutting off the hair, you're going to save it. But if you cut off the nails, you throw them out. So that's a malacha shen tzvicha legufa. So the Ramah says that's permissible. To ask a nochri to cut off the nails, b'makam tvila shal mitzvah, that's a shvuz de shvuz b'makam mitzvah.
How soon do you have to plan on cutting it off, according to the rabbit, to count as begun and cut off? Let's say a woman has long nails, and she doesn't usually have nails this long, but she doesn't cut her nails for a week after she goes to the mikveh anyway. Because she normally would have cut that counts as a chatzitza, or...
L'chatchila, the meaning is that they always cut their nails, even if they really don't need it. I mean, b'di'eved. But the Eved, would we be machma to go? Yeah, no, only if it's really so long that she would want Bedavka now to cut it. No.
And if it's that long and she doesn't cut them anyway for another 2 weeks?
No, then it's not. Then the minig is that the women cut off the nails, but Mikra din, it's not really necessary. That's a minig on top of the chumra. The Ravid is a chumra to begin with, that if you want to cut the nails, it's considered a chatzitza. It's part of the body. So the Ravid is already a chumra. So we have a minig on top of the chumra that the married women always cut down their nails short. They don't have married women who are observant don't have long nails.
So by Friday night for this Ramah, she's not cutting it. It's Shabbat. She's not cutting it for 24 hours anyway. That's still according to the Ravid, 24 hours isn't enough to still get chatzitza. So if you're going to cut it 25 hours later.
The minig has it that she cuts her nails. Mikra din, probably the rabbi would say it's not a chatzitza. The minig is to cut all the nails short, even though she's not holding by cutting that now. There's no minig that a woman always shaves her hair. That minig we don't have. Hungarians have such a minig.
So this sure must be because of, it's because of the sin of, not because, not her nails are too long to ride it.
Probably.
Even if her nails are short, this sure must is you can ask to cut.
Yeah, to be mekayim the minig is also called a shvuz the shvuz by makom mitzvah.
But doesn't the shulchan aruch bring down a minig not to cut your nails like on a Friday? Or, like, I think close to Shabbos, because of,
you got no choice over here. She has to go to the mikveh. She wants to go to the mikveh tonight. No, they have a meaning in Shulchan Aruch not to take a haircut on Thursday because it'll only be noticeable that your hair began to grow on Shabbos, so it's considered as if you're causing the hair to grow on Shabbos. The hair is always growing. Whether you took a haircut, you didn't take a haircut. But if you took a haircut on Friday, it won't be noticeable yet on Shabbos. Take a haircut on Thursday, it'll actually be noticeable on Shabbos that your hair is growing. So what's wrong? It's Achumra from the Sefer Chassid. The Pashta says it's against the Mishnah. Shavua Shechal by Tishbav. You're not allowed to take a haircut. Midina Mishnah. But the Mishnah says B'chamishim Matar Mepnei Kvayd Al Shabbos. If Tishbav falls out on Friday, so Mikra Din, you're not allowed to take a haircut on Thursday. But L'Kovit Shabbos, you're allowed to. L'Chamish Matarim. So here the Sefer Hasidim came up with the Chumra. You're never allowed to take your haircut on a Thursday. So what do you do with the Mishnah? It's against the Mishnah. You have a lot of things. The Sefer Hasidim has a lot of things that don't correspond to what it says in the Mishnayos and in the Gemara. So that's a question, whether we follow the Sefer Hasidim or not. They say that the Vardar Barotzis had a meeting and they were discussing a tulpal whether the Tzavos Rabbi Yehuda Chosid is binding on all of Klal Yisrael or only on his descendants. So the Mashah, that's the way the story goes, Mashah was in attendance at that meeting, so he said, I'm a descendant for Rabbi Yehuda Chosid, and Rabbi Yehuda Chosid left instructions that no one should name their children, not Shmuel, not Eliezer. My name, Mashah, was Shmuel Eliezer. So he said, the descendants don't observe the Tzavos Rabbi Yehuda Chosid. So for Gans Klal Yisrael, nobody has to observe. I don't know, in recent years, as it became more popular, people are more into, you know, I think they're just looking for more...
Why was that the middle, not the name Shmuel or Eliezer?
I don't know. That's what Rabbi Yehuda Chosid said. Should name your children Shmuel and Eliezer. Ich weiß. All the other things, we don't understand anything from the Sefer Chassid. There's things that are clearly against the Gemara. Yeah, I don't know. So this is a Ramah. Ramah has this in Yerudea. The Satcha Ramon Hilchot Shabbos also, the Ramon has, if a person has a terrible toothache, and he knows if they'll pull out the tooth on Shabbos, he has a toothache on Shabbos and it's painful, and if they'll yank out the tooth, there'll be a lot of bleeding, but then he won't suffer anymore. So the Ramon says it's permissible to ask a Nochri to pull out the tooth, because also Shvuz de Shvuz b'makom choyli. What's the Shvuz de Shvuz? Amir Nochri. And the Malacha involved is only the Rabbanah to begin with, because he's not going to use the Dam. The Dam that comes out is going to be a Malacha Shein Tzvicha L'Gufa. So that's the Shvuz de Shvuz, B'mokam Tzorech V'meikam. So the Taz takes issue with the Ramah. Taz says that when the Yisa Amir Nochri lowers the Malacha to the level of the Rabbanah, if he asks Nochri to turn on the lights. So that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. Amir Nochri. Let's say they're going to sit in the dark. The fella has no lights in the house. They're going to sit in the dark. So that's a makom mitzvah. He'd rather enjoy eating his meal in light. So to ask an achri to turn on the electric bulb, we assume turning on an electric bulb, Chaim Moses said, and we assume like that it's a malacha deraisa. If you heat the filament till it glows, that's a malacha deraisa, either a mevashel or a mavir. One place the Rambam says you heat metal till it glows. One place he writes that it's Avora, one place he writes that it's Mabashal. Whatever. There's some kind of a malacha or another involved. So we assume turning on an electric bulb on Shabbos is a malacha there. Right? He says, Amir Ladachri, B'makam Mitzvah, we're not Mekel. The Ramah quotes the Baluiter, the Ramon Hilchazer of Shabbos, quotes the opinion of the Baluiter, Amir Ladachri, B'makam Mitzvah is always Mutter. You don't have to have a shvuz de shvuz. It doesn't have to be Amir Ladachri on the Rabbanon to be Matim and Makam Mitzvah. You got it? The Baluita got it from the Baluita, one of the Balei HaTosfos. The Baluita got it from the Gemara in Gittin. on Daf Ches on the base. So the Gemara says it's a mitzvah to buy up Eretz Yisrael from the non-Jews. Yishah Beretz Yisrael should be in Jewish hands, shouldn't be in non-Jewish hands. So the Gemara says, what if the Nochri has a field or a house that's for sale only on Shabbos? So am I allowed to buy it on Shabbos? Am I allowed to be Mechal Shabbos? The Gemara says, Akoina Sodom and Anochri Beretz Yisrael, you're allowed to write to Shtar even on Shabbos. Because from all of Ono, you're permitted to write to Shtar on Shabbos. The Gemara says, to be Mechal Shabbos, how can it be? How can you, Zionism is such a big mitzvah, you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos? The Gemara says, no, it means Amir Lenochri, yes, Gagoy, the right to Shtar. So why is that permissible? The Samar Shanim say, the Ramo quotes this, Samar Shanim say, because the Goy is not going to write, not Biksav Ashuris, in black letters, Hebrew letters, not going to write Biksav Yevonis. The Halacha says he can write a Sefer Torah, either Biksav Ashuris or Biksav Yevonis. He can't write a Sefer Torah in any other script. The Arab is going to write the Shtar Mechira in Arabic, or he's going to write in English. So the Ramo quotes this from the Yozarua, a very small group of Rishonim hold that HaKosev, the Malacha in the Mishnah later, that says HaKosev B'Shabbos is a Malacha, is only if you write either in Ksav Ashuris or in Ksav Yevonis. These are the two scripts that the Halacha recognizes, and every other script we don't accept, we don't recognize. So it's Vaita Shvuz to Shvuz B'Makam Mitzvah. Since the Nochri is going to write to Shtar in Arabic or in English letters, in Latin Oisius, so that's only Ksivim with the Rabbanan, Amir and Nochri is only the Rabbanan, so it's a Shvuz to Shvuz B'Makam Mitzvah. So the Mishnah Brura is very upset about that. He says the Ramah shouldn't have even quoted that as a chumrah, that it's only mutter to Amir Lenochri to buy the field. It's only mutter if he's going to write in some script other than Ksav Ashuris or Ksav Yevonis. It's such a ridiculous opinion. We don't accept it at all. And he says, the Mishnah says, B'choloshen, the Mishnah and Daf Kuv Gimel Amar Aleph says, HaKaisu Shtei Yosius is Chayiv. B'choloshen, So the Yozarua obviously understood B'choloshen means in transliteration. You're writing a sentence in Hebrew script. Let's say you're writing Yiddish in Hebrew script. So you're not writing Hebrew, you're writing Yiddish, or you're writing German, or you're writing English. Let's say in the beginning. So you write in the beginning, Aleph Yud Nun, the Tes Hey Yud, the beginning. Sayin Gimel, Yud Nun. That's B'chol Loshen. You wrote in a different language. You didn't write in the Hebrew language, but you wrote in Hebrew script. It doesn't say B'chol Ksav. It says B'chol Loshen. That's the Mishnah Berurah said. That's apparently how the Yozarua read the Mishnah. B'chol Loshen is Chai, but not B'chol Ksav. Allah only recognizes two written scripts. Only the written script of Ksav Ashuris and the script of Ksav Yevonis, because those are the only two scripts that you can use to write a Sefer Torah. That's a Mishnah Megillah. So the Mishnah Berurah says that shita, such a shita, the Shulchan Aruch shouldn't have quoted that at all. He refers to it as a shita yechido. A shita yechido. It's in Gansan a shita sayochi. Hacham Avadya disagrees with the Mishnah Berurah. He says, why does he call it a shita yechido? He discovered three obscure Rishonim who say the same as the Ozarua. Still a shita yechido. If you have 5,000 Rishonim and three, right, one opinion, that's a shita yechido. It doesn't make any sense. We don't hold like that. So what's the heter? How come Amir Lenachri is mutter there? So the Baluiter is of the opinion that Amir Lenachri and Melacha Derais is mutter b'makam mitzvah. But we don't accept that. The Ramor recommends, Ramor writes, even though many people follow that lenient position of the Baluiter, he recommends you should not be meikel because it's not the generally accepted opinion. So Taisus there has a long arichas on that daf and gittin daf chesem and base. Yishum Yishad Eretz Yisrael somehow, the Tanoim felt that that's, in their generation, they felt that was very important to buy up Eretz Yisrael and the Arabs, so we allow even Amir al-Nochri on a Melacha Derais. Years ago, Takam and Rav Kook was alive, the chief rabbi, Kook. So there was one occasion when the Arabs were selling an area and the Jewish National Fund, the JNF, wanted to buy it, and it was only on sale on Yom Kippur. The bids had to be made on Yom Kippur. So the Jew who was in charge of the JNF in Eretz Yisrael, Rav Kook, so he told him he's allowed to go by car on Yom Kippur He's allowed to have the Nochri drive him. He can't drive Mechutz L'Tchum, but he can drive him to the, if it's Toch HaTchum, to drive him and have and make a bid for the thing. And he shouldn't do any malach. He should have the Nochri, who is driving the car, do all the malachas that are about. That's exactly the halach in Gittin, Dav Ches, Mishum Yisheh Eretz Yisrael. To buy up the land for Negoyim is mutter to violate the Amir L'Nochri. So there is a big Tosis there in Gittin, Dav Ches, and the base. So Tosis says, we don't permit Amir L'Nochri on a malacha deraisa in any other mitzvah, only mishum misha v'eretz yisur. What about a shvuz? The shvuz b'makam mitzvah, will we be mekal on that? So Tosfos quotes a Gemara towards the end of Erevin. The Gemara says that there was once a baby boy was born on Shabbos, and the bris was scheduled for the next Shabbos. Ahu yinuke, there was a little baby, yishtapich hamime. In the days of the Gemara, they felt that it's a suffix sakana to perform a bris milah without washing the baby with warm water before and after the bris to prevent infection. By the time Rabbi Yosef Kara wrote to Shulchan Aruch, this was no longer the practice. So the Mechaber writes in Hilchos Shabbos, we don't bathe the baby anymore with hot water before and after the bris. He's not going to get an infection. Bizman is that's not considered a suffix sakana. Bizman Gemara was considered so crucial. If they had performed a bris already on a baby, they had to bathe the baby with warm water before and after. So if you don't have warm water, you don't perform the bris milah. And you don't ask a goy to heat up warm water. That's a malacha deraisa. You know, Amir al-Nachri is not mutter, even though it's a milah bismana, as Decha Shabbos, we wouldn't permit Amir al-Nachri. And if you already did perform the bris milah, and you don't have hot water to bathe the baby after the bris, it's considered, in the days of the Gemara, that would be considered a sofek sakana. And you would permit the Jew to cook the water on Shabbos in order to bathe the baby to prevent the sakana. Then the Mechaber writes that we don't follow that anymore. We follow the doctors of our generation. They say it's no longer a sakana. So the Gemara tells this story in the end of Erevin. They had hot water prepared and all the water was spilled out. But there was another home, the home where they planned to do the bris milah, they didn't have any hot water. There was another home in the same chotzer. It was a chotzer shenim u'rebis. Chotzer shenim u'rebis means that there are mechitzas around the whole area. So in our Torah, it's all one big rishus ayachid. But when the Rabban and Shlomo HaMelech made a takon, you have to make a ruvi chotzeris. That if one family lives in one home, a different family lives in the other home, they ask around each other, with the Rabbanon, unless, let's say, you have two families. Either Reuben's family puts a challah in Shimon's home, and Shimon's family puts a challah in Reuben's home. Or if you have a big apartment building with 100 families, so in the Rosh Hashanah Shabbos, let's say, for argument's sake, the Rosh Hashanah Shabbos, and 99 families have to leave a challah in the home of the one family. So the one family lives there, so that for sure is based on. And then 99 families who left the challah is considered as if, since they left the Suda there, is considered as if all 100 families live in the one apartment, and nobody asks on anybody else. So that concept is an invention of Shlomo HaMelech. There's a Rishus HaYochid with an Issa Tiltal. A Chotzer Sheinim U'Revis. So the Gemara says, if there's a Nochri, we can instruct the Nochri to carry the warm water from the one bias to the other bias in the Chotzer Sheinim U'Revis, because that's a Shvuz the Shvuz. Amir L'Nochri to begin with is only the Rabbanon, and the Chotzer Sheinim U'Revis is only an Issa the Rabbanon, Takana Shlomo HaMelech. So Shvuz the Shvuz b'makam mitzvah is mutter. Tosfos has two opinions there in Gittin on Daf Ches and Beis, where the Shvuz the Shvuz is only mutter for bris milah, because milah itself is Decha Shabbos. Milah is a malacha deraisa, some sort or another, some kind of a malacha. So milah b'zman is Decha Shabbos. So maybe even though machshiri milah are not Decha Shabbos, to heat up the water is not Decha Shabbos, but to do a Shvuz the Shvuz b'makam milah for the machshiri milah, maybe that we allow. Maybe Shus to Shus b'mok m'shar mitzvahs, we would not be mekel. So Tosfos has two opinions about that. Can you really derive, can you extract from that Gemara in the end of Erevin that Shus to Shus is mutter b'shar mitzvahs? So the accepted opinion. So the two opinions in the Shulchan Aruch. Mishnah Berurah says the minig is l'hakam. Whenever you have a Shus to Shus b'mok mitzvah, the minig is l'hakam. So that's what the Ramor writes, that this is a Shus to Shus, the eska nochris, to cut off the nails, is a shvuz the shvuz b'makam mitzvah. So the Taz has an argument with the Ramah. He says, when is it considered Amir l'Nachri is only the Rabbanon? I ask l'Nachri to carry the water from the other place. I ask l'Nachri to turn on the lights. Let's say on Yontif, if a person is sitting in the dark on Yontif, and he doesn't enjoy, the whole house is going to be dark, so he would like to ask a Nachri, a next-door neighbor, to please turn on the light. So the Pashtus is, that to turn on a light on Yontib is only the Rabbana. To turn on a light on Shabbos is a Melacha Deraisa, that's Avorim. To turn on a light on Yontib is also because of Moilad Esh Mechadosh. The Mishnah says in Beitzah that you're allowed to be Madlik as Haner from an already existing Ner, but you're not allowed to strike a match. You're not allowed to light a Ner Mechadosh. So that's a question in the Melacha of Havara. Why is there a difference between striking a match and lighting a flame from an already existing flame? So the Taz, in his commentary on Hilchos Yontov, thinks that that's Adin Deraisa, that on Yontov you're not allowed to strike a match, but you're permitted to light from a flame that already exists. And all the Achrayim disagree with the Taz. They say it doesn't make any sense. Well, just because they have Shalasas Mebod Yom. So therefore, so most of the Paskim, the overwhelming majority of the Paskim, hold that to turn on the light on Yontov, if you really need the light, Minatur, it's really the same as lighting from a candle that's already lit. The whole prohibition against Moilad Esh Mechadosh is only the Rabbanon. So if you ask a Nochri to turn on the light on Yontov, that would be a Shvuz de Shvuz. And if it's a Mokka Mitzvah, if you're not going to enjoy the meal, it's going to be dark. It's going to be dark in the house or dark in the Sukkah, whatever the story is. So that's a Shvuz de Shvuz by Mokka Mitzvah. So the Taz has a Taina. When is it called up? When is Amir and Nochri? And he said the Rabbanon, and it can knock down the level of the prohibition to become a Shvuz de Shvuz by Mokka Mitzvah with the Mutta. That's if I ask a Nochri, carry the hot water from the other apartment. I ask the Nochri, please turn on the light. But if I ask the Nochri to pull out my tooth, I stretch out my fingers and the Nochri is cutting my fingernails. So they're doing the Malacha on my body, so the Taz thinks that then Amir the Nochri becomes a Deraisa, because he's doing the Malacha on my body and I'm a Sayeya. I open up my mouth to enable the Nochri to do it. I stretch out my fingers. If I'm going to hold my fingers like this, they won't be able to cut it. So since I'm a Sayeya, so then the Malacha of the Nochri relates to me, and that's not considered Amir L'Nochri D'Rabbon. That's considered an Issa D'Rais. Where does he get such an idea from? That if I'm a Sayeya, another person does an activity on my behalf, on my body, and I help him by stretching out my fingers or by opening up my mouth, where does he get an idea that it relates to me? So he gets it from the Gemara in Makkos.
Yeah.
The Gemara Makkos says that if you take a razor, you shave off your payas, you get Malkus. What if I sit in the barber chair and the barber cuts off the payas? So I don't get any malchus. But if I lean over, if I'm a sayeh, I lean over in order to make it easier for the barber to shave off the payas, so then I get malchus. So you see that when the other person does the pula to my body, and I facilitate it, I lean over a little bit, so then the pula relates to me, it's considered as if I did it. So the shach has hasogas on Yerideya. The Shach has Hasogas on the Taz that are called Nekudas HaKesef. Turei Zav Nasa Lachem Nekudas HaKesef. That's a Pasuk in Shir Hashim. So the Taz is safer is Turei Zav. And the Shach has Hasogas where he disagrees. So the Shach quotes, last year we learned Bar Metzias, no? So we learned the Taisus in the first paragraph of Bar Metzias. The Shach quotes the Taisus. And he quotes the Ravid and Hilchas Avodah Zarah, where Taisus and the Ravid both say, if I sit in a barber chair and the barber shaves off the payas, I'm over the lav of lois akifu, but I'm over the lav b'shevi al tassis. So it's a lav shem on my say ain't loikem olav, but I'm over the lav anyway. So if I lean over a little bit to make it easier for the barber to shave off the payas, that elevates it to the level of a lav sheyesh bo maisa. But if I'm not doing any aver at all, I can open my mouth from today till tomorrow. The tooth is not going to get yanked out. I can stretch out my fingers from today till tomorrow. The fingernails are not going to get cut off. Someone else is going to do the maisa. So I'm not doing any aver at all. The other person is doing the aver. So the Shach says that's Amir L'Nochri is only the Rabbanon. Even though I'm doing Amir L'Nochri to cut off my nails or to yank out the tooth, that doesn't make it into a Melacha D'Oraisa. The only thing you see from the Gemara in the end of Makkos is that if I'm over an aver anyway, but I know the barber is going to shave off my payas. I just sit there and I say, please give me a haircut. I know he's going to cut it off. I am over the lav. If I'm a sayeya, I make it into a lav sheyesh bo maisa. But if it's no aver at all, unless I'm a sayeya, then just because I'm a sayeya doesn't make it into an aver, doesn't become amir l'nochri d'oraisa. So that's the taina of the Taz. That Taz appears both in Hilchos Shabbos, where the Rama quotes the kula asking a nochri to yank out the tooth, and in Yerideya in Hilchos Mikvois, where the Rama has the kula that you can ask the nochris to cut off the fingernails on the El Shabbos for the Isha HaTovelas. Then the Mishnah Brura quotes a whole discussion in his Bir Halacha that not everybody agrees with the Tosfos on Tzadik Daled on the base. the Taz had the taina that maybe Amir v'Nachri is the raisa here because it's a malacha, but the malacha is done to my body. So that the Shach says the Taz is wrong, and then the Ramo is right. And then the Mishnah Berurah has a different he'ora that the Ramban and the Rivosh don't agree with the Taisus on Tzadik Dalet on the base. The Ramban and the Rivosh hold that if you cut off fingernails, you cut off hair, and you throw it all in the garbage, but you want to look better, that is called the Malacha Tzricha L'Gufa. It doesn't always have to be, I cut off the hair, I plan to use the hair. I cut off the nails, I plan to use the nails. No, I'm going to throw the nails and the hair in the garbage. But I'm cutting off my hair and my nails in order that I should look better. Kedeli Apis as Gufo. So the Ramban and the Rivosh hold that that's called a Malacha Derais. So that's against the Ramo. Okay, the Ramo is following the Taisus. Machlokes HaRishayim. The Ramo is following the Taisus. That's considered a Shvuz, the Shvuz B'Makam Mitz. Yeah, so the story, you're right, the story in the Gemara was they didn't perform the bris yet. So we would say, if you don't have hot water, so don't perform the bris, so there won't be a sakana. Once he already did perform the bris, so then in the days of the Gemara, they were considered the child bisakana, unless he bathed them with the hot water. So then, if need be, the soul himself would be allowed to heat the water. But the Meduber in the Gemara was, Hayinuka, the Shtapich Hanime, the hot water spilled out before they even began to do the bris. So to heat up the water is Machshire Milo. So Rav Lezer's opinion is the Perik Rav Lezer the Milo. Rav Lezer Ben Hurkins holds, even Machshire Milo Decha Shabbos, not only a Milo Bismana, not only are you allowed to perform the actual Maisa Milo, you're allowed to manufacture a knife, you're allowed to heat up the water in order to make preparations for the bris. But we don't paskin like Reb Lezer. We paskin only the actual mila itself is Decha Shabbos. Nechshir mila, not Decha Shabbos.
Didn't we say that for a cholash, even a
cholash
imbus, it can be considered as to
run
on their
official
side?
Right.
So why do you
need a shvus? Right, you wouldn't even need it. Right, if he's really greatly in pain, so then the Gemara says, Amir l'nachar is mutter b'makam cholash imbus akana. That's correct. That's on Kuf Chav Tes Amid Aleph. Kuf Chav Ches on the base is about delivering a baby for a person, or delivering a baby for animals, for cows. And so they have farms, they have Jewish farms. So they have to sometimes deliver cows. And I remember I was once in Kerem Yavna, Rosh Hashanah, they delivered a cow. So the dinim in the Mishnah about this. How are you allowed to aim the aldenas abehema biyanta? Masadim. You're allowed to straighten out a little bit, but mamish to do the delivery, you're not allowed to. For human beings, you're allowed to. So that's about delivering the baby. Then Kuf Chav Tesam and Aleph, the Gemara talks about, oh, you're led this as a chadush aim besakona. So the Gemara says, for a chadush aim besakona, amir and nachri is mutter even on a malocha deraisa. So when is a person a chadush aim besakona? If he's has excruciating pain. If the person has such pain that he can't function normally. The person has slight the pain from the toothache, but he can really he can survive, it's not really preventing him from functioning normally, then it's a shvuz de shvuz b'makam tzarech gadol, but it's not considered, we wouldn't allow it because of amir l'nachri b'makam chodeshem b'sakana. Chodeshem b'sakana means he's cholek aguf amut al mishka, means that he can't function normally. The pain that he has is preventing him from functioning normally. So you're right, sometimes if the toothache is so great, the way I described it, he has such a terrible toothache, it can't function normally, so then it would be mutter to do amir l'nachri without a double derabban. You wouldn't need the shvuz. You're right. So we have a malacha of gozes. Okay, malacha of gozes is discussed here on Tzadik Dalet Amud Beis. Yeah. And the Gemara just mentions it a little bit here, and I am dalet on the base. I tell the shesakana, if you rip off feathers from the bird, that's a malach of gozes. Then kotim chaim shum mechatech, if you mechatech b'midah, if you want a davket to be a specific size. And then the Tosefta concludes, the third malach is hamemareit chaim shum mechatech. Let's say he has, he rips off all of the feathers from the skin of the chicken, from the oif, and now it's smooth. So that's another malacha, to make something smooth. If something has a rough surface, let's say you have a piece of wood, and it's very rough surface, so you use sandpaper to make it smooth. So you're removing part of the roughness in order to make it smooth. So that's a malacha memachik. Or let's say you shecht, what was the Mishnah has? The Mishnah 9 Gimel Amen Aleph has. Atzot Tzvi is a malacha of tzeda. Hashochto, he shechts it, that's a malacha. Hamapshito, when you separate the hide from the flesh. Then, hamemachko, he takes the piece of hide and he wants to make it smooth, so he sandpapers it down, or he removes all of the hair and he makes it smooth. So removing the hair is a malacha of gozeis, even though it's menashalach, even though the deer is dead. Gozeis menashalach would be a malacha of gozeis. And then when he makes the whole surface smooth, that's memachik. So the ab malacha of memachik is, if you have a rough surface, and you make it smooth by removing part of the roughness. What if you have, let's say, a sloppy pair of shoes that are rubbed out, and then you put on shoe polish, and you make it smooth, or you have a floor that's rough, and then you make it smooth, you shellac the floor or something like that. So you take a rough surface and you make it smooth, not by using sandpaper to remove the thing that makes it rough, but rather by adding on polish, or by adding on something to make it smooth. So that's, memareach is a toldah of memachik. That's on Ayin Hamad base. The Gemara has memareach, it's a toldah of memachik. Memachik is if you make a rough surface smooth by removing part of the roughness. Let's say if you have dirty dishes and the dirt is stuck onto the dishes, and then you wash off the dishes in the sink because you want to use them Friday night, you wash the dishes for Shabbos morning. So is that memachek? You're making, you have a rough surface and you're making it smooth by removing all the dirt. So that's not the malacha memachek, that's a Gemara. Where's that Gemara earlier? That's a Gemara earlier. That's not an Issa Memachik, because it's not really attached. It's stuck on. The dirt is stuck on the grease or whatever is stuck onto the dish. But it's not really part of the same part of the dish. So that's not a malacha. Let's say a person brushes his teeth. So you're going to say it's Memachik because he makes the teeth smooth. The teeth were dirty, so there was dirt that was stuck onto the teeth. So you brush off the teeth, so that's not memachik. When you remove the dirt, that's not an isra memachik. Here we're talking, you have a rough piece of wood and you sandpaper it down. That's memachik. Let's say you take a piece of bread and you shmear on some butter. You make a new smooth surface. So that the Rishani came up with the Chiddush, Eim emarech ba'oichlin. Even though the piece of bread is rough, when you shmear on butter or something like that, peanut butter that's creamy, so it's going to be a smooth surface, so that's not eim emarech ba'ochlin, that's permissible. Yeah. Let's say a person, the Gemara talks about shmearing oil on the body. So the Gemara says it's permissible to shmear oil. It's permissible to shmear oil on Shabbos. So Moshe Feinstein in his Chubas raises an issue that there are different kinds of oil. Sometimes oil is very thick, and it's really like making a new smooth surface on top of the skin. Sometimes the oil is thin, so it's going to be a mashu, the mashu is going to be on the skin. So Moshe has a chiddush, he thinks that when the Gemara says it's permissible to shmear oil on Shabbos, Gemara just talks about if a person is sick, and he shmears oil as a refuah, and it's very expensive oil, and he would never, even if he would be a ben melech, if he'd be a rich person, he would shmear oil all the time. It's good for the skin, good for your complexion, good, but he's a poor person, and he can't afford this. So the din is that refuah b'Shabbos is only also if it's refuah hanikeres. Let's say there are some people that drink schnapps all the time. They enjoy drinking schnapps. Other people only drink schnapps when they have a cold. They said, they asked Sir Arthur Fleming, the one who came up with penicillin, yes, and what does he take when he has a cold? So he takes schnapps. He doesn't hold from this whole penicillin business. That's for the other people. For him, he takes schnapps. So there's some people only take schnapps when they have a cold. So you're going to say, it's an Issa Refui, you're not allowed to take schnapps. And the Mishnah says, there's all perik about Refui. There are 24 prokim. The perik Shmanu Shvatzim, the bulk of the perik, most of the perik is all about Refui B'Shabbos. So it's clear in the Mishnayos and the Gemara The refuah is only forbidden if it's nikkur, that it's l'shem refuah, since there are other people that drink schnapps all the time. So even by me, even if I only take schnapps when I have a cold, I don't enjoy schnapps, that's not an issur refuah. So the Gemara has a discussion. If a person is very wealthy and he can afford this expensive oil, even if he's not sick, so even if he takes it when he's sick, it's not a refuah and he cares, because by wealthy people, a lot of them schmear oil all the time to have wonderful complexions, the men, the women. But the shot is, what if I'm very poor? And I would only, it's by me, it's nikkur, it's boilet. I'm only using this expensive oil because I don't feel well. Normally, I can't afford this. So that's a machloikas hatanaim. Do you declare kol yisrael b'nei melachim haim or not? Do you treat every Jew that he, all the Jews should really be millionaires, we should all be wealthy, and since we all deserve to be wealthy, so we declare it as a refuah she'ein any kara, so it's mutter even for the poor people to shmear the oil when they don't feel well. Or do you say, no, we paskin kol yisrael abnei melachim haim. We are b'nei Avram Yitzchak Yankov, but we're not millionaires. So, but if it's a poor person who wants to use the oil, shemen vered, so that for him it's a refuah hanikeres. For him it'll be usher, because everybody knows him, and he's not a wealthy person, so for him it'll be usher. So the Gemara never distinguishes between how thick the oil is. Rav Moshe came up with, the Gemara talks about shmearing oil, sicha is mutter on Shabbos, sicha is one of the chamisha inuim on Yom Kippur. But on Shabbos and Yontif, there's no issa sicha, you're allowed to shmear oil, just if it's oil shem and vered, that it's nikar l'shem refuah, so that's the machlokes hatanaim, whether sicha b'shem and vered, is it considered refuah hanikeres, because kol yisrael abnei melachim ninu, oh no, kol yisrael abnei melachim ninu, so we consider it as if it's not a refuah hanikeres. Whatever, it's not nikar, then it's mutter.
Nowadays, when it's much less common to smear oil on your face, would that be refuah hanikeres?
Yeah, it depends on every generation. Yeah, if it's only done when people are sick, they don't do it to keep their good complexion, then it would be refuah hanikeres. It's not a chok. The klal was developed by the Tanaim, refuah hanikeres. But in every generation, you have to figure out how it applies in each generation.
So I love one line. So would it be an issur to use acne medication on Shabbos?
Would it be an issur
to use acne medication? Use something on your face that wipes away dead skin or wipes away.
But people only use it when they have acne.
Right, but you use it every day.
I mean,
it's also thicker.
What do you mean? It's thick?
It's like a soap. It's like a...
Now, even if you use it every day, but it's not... People drink schnapps, they say bracha on it. People enjoy the schnapps. But if you use refuah every day, it's still an issur refuah. If a person has acne, and if he's not going to shmear, if he's not going to use the medication, a person has a condition, let's say. Not at all life-threatening. Nowhere near, just a slight minor ache and pain. Person has a condition, and the doctors assess the situation, he'll just never get better unless he treats it every single day, including Shabbos. Not going to treat it on Shabbos, not going to get better. If it'll take an extra day or two or three, another week to get better, instead of 3 weeks, it's going to take 4 weeks. So if you say, don't do the refuah on Shabbos, it'll take you 4 weeks to get better. But the situation is such, if he doesn't apply the medication on Shabbos, it's never going to get better. But it's going to take months longer. It's going to take significantly longer. So then, there was a Talmud Chacham in Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Yamin Zilber, who passed away a couple of years ago. Chazanish used to refer to him as Rabbi Yamin HaTzadik. He lived in Bnei Brak. He was been known as Rabbi Yamin HaTzadik until they started the Degel HaTorah movement, and he didn't want to join. So then he became Rabbi Yamin HaRosha. Because of the politics. He was a tzaddik till the day that he died. He's a big Talmud Chacham. So he originally put out a sefer on Hilchos Shabbos, a small sefer on Hilchos Shabbos. So people corresponded with him. They had kashas and shilas back and forth. So he put out a sefer. What was the name of the sefer? Oz Nidberu. Based on the pasuk, Oz Nidberu Yir Hashem Isha Reyehu. So he put out a sefer Oz Nidbru. Then people sent him more letters. He put out around 18, 19 volumes of Oz Nidbru. And then they realized he was such a big Talmud Chacham. So he has one volume is all about Shemitah, other volumes about Trumas and Maaseh, on Kol HaTorah Kula. He wrote on everything in the Oz Nidbru. He has very nice, like Shalas HaTshuva, is very nice. So he wrote this Chiddush in his original sefer. I forgot the name of the original sefer in Hilchos Shabbos. What's it called? Brisolom. So his original sefer, he wrote this Chiddush. Very mistabe, even though there's no mocha. He thought that if the situation is such that if he's not going to apply the medication on Shabbos, he'll just never get better. Or it'll take significantly longer, not just another couple of days, another week. It'll take another couple of months. So Mistaba, that be key high governor, the Tanoim never asked it. They didn't want to ask the Refua B'Shabbos that the guy should never get better. It should take another day or two, another couple of days.
Is that going to say Refua, though?
Yeah, it's Refua.
It's Refua. It's not cosmetic
things. Yeah, but he has a condition. He has a condition that bothers him. He wants to get better. Gosh, this is.
Would be the same with, let's say, it's a soap, but you're trying to keep status quo. Meaning, you generally wash your face every day.
Keep status quo, that's not refuah. The Gemara says that's mutta. Let's say a person is bleeding, and he doesn't want, if he's going to put a bandage on in order to clot the blood, so Gemara says that's a problem of refuah. But if he's going to put a bandage on, it's not going to help clot the blood. It's just going to prevent. He doesn't want his shirt to get all wet, to get all full of blood. He doesn't want his clothing to get all stained. So if he puts it to prevent the clothing from getting stained, just to preserve status quo, so that's not an Issa Refua. Issa Refua is only if the thing is actually merape. So the Gemara has the whole Perek Shmona Shvatim and discusses different things that Bizman HaGemara they used to use. Is it really merape? Does it really heal the condition? Does it just maintain status quo? It doesn't get worse. But it doesn't really heal the condition. If it just maintains status quo, then it's not called refuah. Refuah is only if it helps be merape. So some achrayim wrote that the issur refuah only applies if you're starting on Shabbos. But if you've been taking the medication a couple of days in the weekdays and you continue on Shabbos, so some wrote that that's permissible. So they point out it's against the Gemara. The Gemara is befeirish not so. One of the Zohar tells Rabbi Yochanan had some kind of a condition. He went to a non-Jewish woman who was a doctor. And she wouldn't tell him what the secret was, what the medication was. He had to come every day for the treatment. Then he said, tomorrow Shabbos I can't come, so I won't be able to come, chutz l'tchum or whatever. So he said, you have to tell me what the medication is. What's the secret? He wants to apply it where he is. So the Gemara says, how was he allowed to apply the medication on Shabbos, even though he started a few days in the week? The Shabbos is already the fourth or the fifth day. The Gemara said because he had a suffix sakana, that's why. But if it's not a suffix sakana, the Gemara seems to say that it's not mutter, even though you started in the middle of the week. We don't paskin like that Gemara. We hold even if it's not a sakana, even if it's just a chodesh eim sakana, we paskin that to apply medication would be mutter on Shabbos and Yom Tov for a chodesh eim sakana, because to apply medication is only a gzera. It's not even a malachim in the rabban. It's a gzera shem yishachik samamana. But since it's only a gzeir, all gzeir is a muta. The Mishkanes Yankov has a tshuva, he disagrees. He says, no, you're only permitted to apply medication on Shabbos and Yom Tov if it's a suffix sakana. Anything less than a suffix sakana is not muta. So we don't follow that. The Mishkanes Yankov, that's the simple reading of the Gemara, not with a zara like that. The Rabbi Yechanan was permitted to apply the medication on Shabbos because his case was one of suffix sakana. But we don't paskin like that, Mishkanes Yankov. Mishnah Berurah quotes the Haskamas Rova Paskim, even though that. Even the Gemara seems to read like the Mishkanes Yankov, it's only mutter to apply the medication on Shabbos when there's a suffix sakana. But the Mishnah Berurah is maker like the Rov Achreinim, even a Chodesh Ayim b'sakana. Just like Amir Eliakim is mutter. That was on Kuf Chav Tesem and Aleph. Amir Eliakim is mutter by Chodesh Ayim b'sakana. Why? Because Amir Eliakim is only a gzera. So Adonami, applying medication, is also only a gzera. Whatever is only a gzera is mutter m'makom Chodesh Ayim b'sakana. There's a Gemara in the end of Erevin. And the last parak in Erevin, the Gemara has a situation. A person is not well. A person is a chayla. And the refuah is that he has to sleep. He has a bad cold. And if he's going to sleep, he'll recover from the cold. And he can't fall asleep. He has insomnia. So we know if we'll play music for him, we'll play the right kind of music, not dancing music, play slow music, we'll be able to put him to sleep. So the Gemara says, if need be, the Jew is permitted to play the music on Shabbos to put him to sleep, because playing a musical instrument on Shabbos is only an Issa D'Rabbanon, unless it's some electronic thing and lights are going on. But just to play a plain piano is only an Issa D'Rabbanon, Shem Yisakin Kleishir. Mashmiya Kol is also Shem Yisakin Kleishir. So you can't say playing music is already Misakin Mona. It's a Gzeir Shema Yavale Deikach. It's not even a Malachim D'Rabbanon, it's only a Gzeir. So the Gemara says that to play the music that the Chodesh should be able to fall asleep is Mutter, because it's only a Gzeir. Then the Magen Avraham says, let's say the Goyish doctor comes to my house and he sees someone is not well, and he has to fill out a prescription. So he says, I need a pen to write a prescription. So I say, I'm not allowed to handle the pen. The pen is in the drawer. So he says, give me the pen. If you don't give me the pen, he's going home. I tell him, well, I'm religious. I can't give you the pen. So he says, well, I'm going home. Goodbye. So if he's an auction and he does want to write the prescription, unless I give him the pen, so the Magen Avraham quotes from the Yisra Beheta, from the Rabbeinu Yoina, a tiltal mukta, a pen is only klisha malach taliyasa, but even tiltal mukta mamish would be mutta b'makam choy l'shem b'sakon. Because tiltal mukta is only a gzera shem yotzi. It's a gzera mishim hoitzo. It's not a malacha even with the Rabbanon, just a gzera. So the klal is, based on Gemara, based on the Shulchan Aruch, whatever is only a gzera. In Shulchan Aruch they have, let's say a person is a choyla, he has a cold or whatever, and the doctors think if he'll take a good hot bath, he will recover. He'll get better from the cold. So how can you turn on? You're not allowed to turn on the hot water. You turn on the hot water, you're cooking. You're not allowed to be mevashal b'shabbos. There's a fix sakon over there. So it's on the Shulchan Aruch. He permitted to ask a nachri to cook up the water, to turn on the hot water on Shabbos. So Rabbi Kiveger on the Shulchan Aruch quotes the kasha. What does it help? But there's a gzeres habalanim. You're not allowed to bathe in hot water. What does it help? Amir the nachri to cook the water to make the bathtub full of hot water, but it's my yisr. I'm the choyla. I'm going to take a hot bath. That's exeren perik kiran, the third perik. The Gemara has exeres habalanim, balanim with the bathhouse attendants. So the zman atanaim, the bathhouse attendant, they didn't have everyone didn't have a bath in their own apartment. They had a public bathhouse. So the bathhouse attendants were not the most religious Jews. So the minig used to be that on a Shabbos afternoon, people would go, Jewish people, non-Jewish people, they would go to the public bathhouse and take a bath on the hot bath, a hot shower on Shabbos afternoon. So these fellows, they wouldn't leap on the fire from Erev Shabbos to use up so much fuel to cost a fortune of money. So they would make the fire on Shabbos. So the Chachamim prohibited bathing in hot water under all circumstances on Shabbos. Not allowed to bathe in hot water. That's the Gzeres HaBalonim. The Gzera, because of the balon, is the bathhouse attendant who weren't Shem Mishama. So they made Gzera. Rechitza b'cham and Azasa. So Rabbi Kevege quotes the Kasha. What does it help that I'm going to ask the Nochri to heat up the water, to fill up the bathtub with hot water, but I'm going to go into the bathtub. So that's my violation of the Gzera Sabalonim. Rabbi Kevege quotes the Teretz, I think from the Beis Yosef, that since Gzera Sabalonim is only a Gzera, it's not even a Malacha Midirabonim. Turn on the hot water, that's a real malacha, he's mevashal. But to take a hot bath is a gzera shema. Shema, he'll turn on the fire. So since it's only a gzera, so all gzera is a mutter, mamakam chadush hem isakon. Yeah, so that's why we hold that to take refuah is mutter on Shabbos, even if he's so chadush hem isakon. We don't follow that Mishkan is yankev. But our kalponim, you see from the Gemara tells Rabbi Yechon had started taking the medication a few days before Shabbos. And then when it came Shabbos, he said he's only allowed to take the medication because he's a serious chayla. You don't say because he started b'chol, it's mutter to continue on Shabbos. So that svara that some achranim came up with is mamish against the Gemara. Yeah, that's a shayla. Let's say the Ramah says if you have a bar of soap, you're not allowed to use a bar of soap on Shabbos because you're making a new smooth surface. Every time you use a bar of soap, a 1/16 of an inch disappears. Baharaya, that if you use the soap long enough, the whole thing disappears. Obviously, every time, even though it's not noticeable, every time you use a bar of soap, some of it disappears. See, a bar of soap is a shaila because it already has a smooth surface. You're not taking the way we have. We have a bar of soap that already is smooth. So to take a smooth surface and to make a new smooth surface by removing a 1/16 of an inch or a 1/36 of an inch or whatever, by removing a little bit, is that really a malacha of memachek? It already has a smooth surface. If I have a piece of wood that's rough and I sandpaper it down, I take a rough surface and I make it into a smooth surface. I have rough skin, I have chapped skin, I have chapped hands, and I apply some kind of lotion and I'm going to make it into a smooth. So I take something rough and I make it smooth. But if you take something smooth and you make a new smooth surface, that's a shiloh. So it's usually assumed that it's not allowed. And some of the poskim held that it is mutter if it already has a smooth surface. Yes, so Rav Moshe came up with this chiddush. Even though the Gemara talks about putting oil on the body, the Gemara never says what kind of oil. On Yom Kippur, sicha is also. On Shabbos, Yom Tov, sicha is mutter, unless it's shemen vered. Then it's a shayla refu, is it refu on ikeres? Otherwise, tishmir oil is mutas. Unless you came up with a chiddush, it depends how thick the oil is. So he thinks that if it's thick oil, then it's the same as putting on a lotion or a cream, and you're making a new smooth surface, and it's not allowed. He says the same regarding liquid soap. He says if you have thick, very often the liquid soap is very thick. So if you're going to rub it on your hands, you're making a new smooth surface on your hands. So he thinks that you have to water down the liquid soap before you use it on Shabbos, so it will not be making a new smooth surface. It'll just have the effect that soap has to clean off all the dirt, and it won't make a new smooth layer on the hands. The Shaila is, it's legamre. It's a gamre, not shel kayama. The whole prohibition of all the malachas. All the malachas are only also, we had, where was that Mishnah? We had a Mishnah somewhere. Kol ha'os malacha b'shabbos, malachta miskayem is b'shabbos. Already forgot where the Mishnah is. Kuf who? Kuf beis. Kuf beis on the beis. Kol ha'os malachta miskayem is b'shabbos. So the poshet, there's a machlekes, so Rishonim will have to discuss them. The Poshe Pshat, many Rishonim say, all the Lamedas Malachas have to be Shel Kayama. Not only Ksav Shel Kayama. Ksav Shel Kayama is a din in a get also. A get is only kosher if it's written Ksav Shel Kayama. Kesher Shel Kayama. Kesher Shel Kayama is a din in Kesher Shel Tefillin also. Not just a din in Hilcha Shabbos, but the Mishnah says, the simple reading of the Mishnah, all the Malachas of Shabbos have to have Shel Kayama. So we have a din in Kesher. The Gemara says sometimes you make a kesher the whole perik eluk sharim later on perik hamishasa. So the Mishnah says that sometimes a kesher shal kayam is a malacha deraisa, sometimes it's an isa derabbanan, and sometimes it's even muta legamre mederabbanan. So when is it which? So there's a machlokes of rishonim. So the Rambam and the Rif have one sheet, and the other rishonim have a different sheet. So Moshe sums up the other rishonim. They say if it's Shel Kayama, really Shel Kayama, he made a Kesher Shel Kayama, he planned to leave it for a long, long time. So then it's a Malacha Deraisa. If it's a little bit Shel Kayama, then it's a Malacha Medirabban. If it's Aroi Daroi, then it's even Muta Medirabban. That's what Moshe understands from the gist of the whole pair. And he extrapolates from Kesher, from Kosher to all the other Malachas, that if you ever, whenever you do a Malacha, if it's not Shel Kayama, it won't be an Isa Deraisa, cool base on the base, he says the Mishnah. And if it's aroid, aroid, then it'll be mutar even with the rabban. So that's the shaila. If you're going to use, let's say, you're going to put oil on your face, and it's going to leave what a new. You're going to, let's say, washing your hands with liquid soap. How long is the liquid soap going to stay on your hands? You're going to wash your hands off after you use the liquid soap. So it's just going to stay briefly. Or when you brush your teeth, Rav Moshe has a chumra, a shvera chumra. He says you're not allowed to use toothpaste on Shabbos. Why? Because he says that it's mimareach. Because when you spread the toothpaste on your teeth, you're making a new smooth surface from the toothpaste. So how long is it going to be there? You're going to rinse it out afterwards. It's just going to be for 2 or 3 seconds. Then it's going to disappear. It's legamrei aroi daroi. Why should that be an issa? It's very difficult. Very difficult.
Then you may stay for longer. It's only because
you're only because what?
Only because you rinse it out. If you don't rinse it out, it may, you haven't tried it, but it may stay for longer. So maybe
the act itself is shalkayama. And when you brush, doesn't that itself push it away?
Right, so
when you brush your teeth, the toothbrush itself, and your tongue, and the saliva, everything, it's going to, the whole new smooth surface is going to disappear right away. How can it be? It's the legamrei not shalkayama. If you do what? If you put lotion on your hands and you make a new smooth surface.
The lotion itself is smooth, it comes out of the liquid.
Right.
Then you're just spreading it out, not smoothing.
Right, but you're making the hand smooth. The hand before was rough, and then you smear the lotion on, you make it smooth.
But the soap you're making the hand smooth, you're just making it smooth.
No, by the soap you're making the bar of soap, a new smooth surface on the bar. On the liquid soap. So Moshe thinks that you're putting, is spreading it evenly on your hands, so you're making a new smooth layer on top of your hands. So that's a shot, but you're going to wash your hand after you rub the soap, after you rub everything, then you're going to wash it off under the faucet. So it's all going to go away. So how is that? So something does remain. It feels smooth afterwards, something does remain, but it's a mashu, the mashu. It's also called the Memarech. Very questionable.
Can it be that it's perhaps not the actual soap that you hide Memarech, but the fact that it removes the dirt? I don't know if dirt is considered enough to be considered.
But to remove the dirt, that's the Gemara, that if you have dirty dishes, you're allowed to wash the dishes off on Shabbos. That is a Gemara. That is a Gemara, because the dirt is not part of the dish. It's something separate from the dish. They first told Rav Soloveitchik that Rav Moshe Feinstein said, you're not allowed to brush your teeth on Shabbos, because it's memachik. So the way they told him over first, he thought that you're rubbing off part of the enamel. So he said, but you only take off the dirt. The Gemara said, you're allowed to wash dishes. Take them off the dirt, that's mutah. So I said, no, they thought Rav Moshe meant you remove part of the enamel. So I said, how can it be? If you brush your teeth 1,000 times, your teeth would disappear. If every time the enamel is rubbed down, mashuhu loa. And I think now they say that it is true, that every time you brush your teeth, taka, part of the enamel does disappear. But it's a mashuhu the mashu. You can't even see them. So then they said, no, the Rav Moshe didn't ask it because of that. They used to advertise, the toothpaste companies used to advertise that if you brush your teeth with this wonderful toothpaste, it'll create an invisible coating, protective coating on your teeth. So Moshe said that that's why it's awesome. That you're creating a new smooth surface on top of the teeth that even after you wash it out, it's still going to be there. Because the advertisement said that it's a new invisible. So Rav Soloveitchik said, you believe it? What do you mean? And he said, and even if it is true, so he said, that it's invisible. How can it be a malach if it's invisible? So he didn't agree with Rav Moshe. There used to be a Talmid Chacham in Chicago, Rabbi Regensburg. He was at this Koki Yeshiva. So he, Chaim Regensburg, I forgot about his name. So he sent a letter to Rav Moshe disagreeing with him on the toothpaste. He has the tinus that Rav Soloveitchik said. Then he printed his letter to Rav Moshe and his sefer, Mishmeres Chaim. So he has that tiny. Those are the tinyus that Rav Soloveitchik had. How can that be Memareach? How can you say that that's Memareach, a tolda of Memachik?
How does one determine, according to Moshe, how would one determine whether a liquid is whether something is liquidy enough or not liquidy enough to...
I think it also has to pour like water.
Pour like water?
Yeah. I think he says you have to pour some, you have to dilute the oil with the liquid soap with so much water till it pours like water. And that's what all the Gemaras talk about doing Sicha B'Shabbos is shemen that pours like water. But if it's a thick shemen, it's a malocha, it's a chash of memarech, told the memachik. It's a big chiddush.
Do you have to dilute it on Shabbos, or could you take the liquid soap in your hand and just dilute it on Shabbos itself?
No, I think he says you can dilute it on Shabbos also. But you have to dilute it before you start smearing it on the skin.
Something that will ultimately be absorbed by the body. Is that the Memarech?
That's what the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa quotes, that they yes the Chazanish in different times, and sometimes said also, sometimes said mutter. You're going to smear something that's going to be absorbed under the skin. So it's for the purpose of making the skin, you have chapped hands. You keep on rubbing till it gets absorbed under the surface of the skin. You're not making a new smooth surface on top. The skin itself is enhanced. So on one occasion he said it's mutam, on one occasion he said it's asa. I think it's usually assumed that it's asa, that that's exactly the yisur of memarayach. You take a rough, you take the chapped hands and then you make them smooth by adding on the lotion.
If you say that something that doesn't pour like water, is a solid, so mixing with water and Shabbos should be
necessarily
lush.
Mm-hmm.
If it's solid and a liquid, you're mixing it together,
you
get a new mixture.
No, lush. Real lush, you have to have a blila ovum, a thick paste. And you have a blila rakka. There's also an isa midrabban. Here, there's not even a blila rakka, less than a blila rakka.
Definitions of solid and liquid for lush.
Yeah, not the same.
When the Chazanish said that it was also if it gets absorbed into your skin, is that because the skin gets smoother or because the thing that's absorbing is getting smoother?
No, because the skin gets smoother.
So it's even if it's something that pours like water, we still say it's also?
Yeah.
Is that how you normally sleep?
Yeah. I think so. I think so. If it accomplishes to make the skin thicker, then you're not allowed to, yeah.
So what about the soaps like we have in Yeshiva that's like foamy, and when you use it, it changes the tzura?
Now, Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva about that. The Gemara says that you're not allowed to take snow or ice and crush it in your hands and liquefy it. So there's a machlokes Rashi in the Rambam. What's wrong with that? What's the issue? So the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch copies the Rambam. Rambam says that it looks like schita midrabbanan. You're not allowed to squeeze out Zeisim HaNovim on Shabbos, to squeeze out the olive oil, but to squeeze out the grape juice, that's a Malacha Deraisa, Toldei Dedosh. So the Rambam says it's going to take snow or ice and crush it in the hands till it liquefies, it looks like Schita. So that's in Shulchan Aruch. They quote it in the Siman about Schita. You're not allowed to squeeze out the fruits or vegetables, you're not allowed to squeeze them. But Rashi doesn't learn like the Rambam. Rashi says because of Moilit. So that's the question, what did Rashi mean, Moilit? So there's a machlokes of Rishonim. The Rashba and that Gemara quotes two different pshatim. What did Rashi mean? So some Rishonim say that Rashi meant to say that since in the beginning of Shabbos it was in the form of snow or ice, and then in the middle of Shabbos you make it into liquid, so you change the form. So Noilad is the form of Muktzah. That's the first daf in Beitza. All food has to be, all oichlim and kelim have to be muchan mibod yom hechinu eis asher yaviyu. If the mon would fall down on Shabbos, the mon would have been muktzah. Because it was a nest ben hashamayim, it was yesh meyayim. It's not that the mon was somewhere else, it was a nest that it came down. So the mon had to fall down on Erev Shabbos, vehechinu eis asher yaviyu. The oichel and the kelim have to be there from before Shabbos. So if something existed, nothing can come into existence, yesh meyayim, we're not making miracles. But if something existed in one form, and then in the middle of Shabbos it changes to a different form, let's say you have chicken, so the chicken has bones. So the chicken is Michael Odom. After you finish eating all the chicken and the bones, you're left with the bones. So the bones are Michael Kelev, Michael HaBehema, Michael HaKelev. So the Gemara discusses that. If you left over some of the chicken and the bones, it's still Michael Odom. But if the person didn't leave over any chicken and the bone, so you ate the chicken on Erev Shabbos, it was Michael Adam, Shenishtan Elias, Michael Behemoth. So strictly speaking, what do you mean? The bone didn't change. Before Shabbos, the chicken was Michael Adam, and the bone was Michael Behemoth. But we treat it, since it doesn't look like that, since the whole piece of chicken looks like Michael Adam, then when you eat up all of the chicken, Shabbos, you're left with the bones, so it looks like Michael Adam, Shenishtan Elias, Michael Behemoth. Even though nothing was Nishtan, the only thing that changed was, you separated the Michael Adam from the Michael Behemoth. So we consider that a case of Noilad. So there's Noilad Gomor and there's Noilad Shein HaGomor. Noilad Gomor means something came, looks like it's Mamish Yesh Meyayin. This is Noilad Shein HaGomor. So Noilad Shein HaGomor, Machal Adin Shenishtanu Yos Machal Beim. Let's say I had a chair. And then on Shabbos, the kids were playing with the chair and they broke the legs. And now the chair is only useful for little children. But before it was a chair, now it's a chair. So it's a Kli Shenishtanu Yos Kli Acher. But the new kli is a hemshech of the old kli. But let's say the chair broke now; it doesn't function any longer as a chair. You can use it as a stool, as a footrest. So then that's noila chena gomer, a kli shenish kli a shenishtan aliyas kli b. So that's noila chena gomer. So the Gemara has later in Perikol Akelim. That's a machlekes Reb Yudah and Reb Shimon and Hilchas Muktzah. Reb Yudah and Reb Shimon had a lot of machlekes in Masechet Shabbos. They had the machlekes about melacha shein tzvicha legufa. We spoke a little bit about on Dafayin Gimel. Then they had a machlokes about Dov Sheni Miskaven, which is going to come up again on Ayin Hey Amud Aleph. We're going to have to talk about that a lot. Then they had a machlokes about Muktzah, three major machlokes in Hilchas Shabbos. So there's a machlokes about Muktzah. So one of the machlokes in is Noilad Shein HaGomor. So on Shabbos we paskin that the chicken bones are not Muktzah. If I finished eating the chicken on the bones and now I have bones left, and if I would have a dog, I would feed it to the dog. Even though I don't have any dog, there are some tenants in my building who do have dogs. And even if I have 100 tenants in my building, even if there wouldn't be any tenants, but there's always a neighbor who has a dog. So if you have a Michael, let's say I have a bottle crashed, and it's tiny little particles, and an elephant will eat the broken particles of glass, let's say. but normal people don't have elephants in their apartments. They have an elephant in the zoo. So if you don't live near the zoo, so the smash their glass will be muktzah. But the Rambam says that dogs are available all over. If you don't have a dog, one of the neighbors has a dog. So the chicken bones are not considered muktzah. It's considered Michael Bayim, even though you personally don't plan to feed it to a dog. You're going to throw it in the garbage, but there are always dogs around. So it's always called Michael Bayim. So this din of Noila Cheney Gomer, so on Shabbos, we pass him that it's not muktzah. And on Yontif, we're machmer. The Rambam is machmer. The Noila Cheney Gomer is muktzah on Yontif. So Noila is a topic. When you learn Beitzah, the first daf in Beitzah, and later on, Perikol HaKelem, we'll probably learn part of it this year. We're going to have to discuss about Noilot. So some Rishonim understood Rashi as saying, the Rashba quote, some Rishonim understood Rashi that he said that it's an Isser of Muktzah. It's an issue of Muktzah. That's why, let's say they serve, you're eating by someone and they have a bowl full of ice cubes. And people take some of the ice cubes, then other ice cubes are just sitting there for an hour and a half. And all the ice cubes melted, and you want to drink the water, like some ice cold water. So you have, since the ice cubes started off as solids, and now it's totally liquefied, so the Rishonim say that that's noilat. It's solid that turned into a liquid. Rashi learns that Gemara, that it's muktzah. So you shouldn't drink that water. Other Rishonim say that Rashi didn't mean to talk about noilat. Rashi said moilid. There are 39 malachas min HaTorah, and then they invented another malacha min HaRabbanan. What's the whole gist of all of the 39 malachas? Zeichel HaMaisa Bereishis. Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world in a very original way, with creative activity. So we refrain from the Lama Tesavos malachas. Zeichel HaMaisa Bereishis. So if you do any moilid, if you create something new, nothing, matter can't be created nor destroyed. But if you change something, one form to the other, you take the ice and you crush it and you melt it, so that'll be a malacha midirabbanan of moilit. A new malacha midirabbanan of moilit. So those are the two pshatim in Rashi. So according to the Rambam, that the prohibition of squeezing the ice in the snow is because it looks like schita, so it'll only be in that direction, to squeeze the snow to make water. What if you take water, you put it in the freezer, you make it into ice cubes? So there's no problem. But according to Rashi, that is that the ice or the snow that you make into water, into liquid, is either noilad or moilid. Either it's muktzah, because it's a panim chadashas bolakan, it's a form of noilad, or it's an isah to change the status. So that was a discussion in recent years. Would it be permissible to put water into the freezer to make it into ice cubes? Maybe according to Rashi, that should also be noilad, that should also be moilid. If you're making ice cubes for tomorrow, so that's hachana, that you're not allowed to do. I want to put in water to make ice cubes to use for today. So if Rashi says that there's an issue of noilad muktzah, so then the ice cubes may be noilad. If Rashi holds that it's an isa to be moilad, so that'll be an isa of moilad. So Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva about this. He says that in Europe, they didn't have refrigerators. So in the cellar, there was warmth upstairs, because they had a Tana Beis Acharif, they used to have an oven that they had logs burning there. In the wintertime, it was cold in the basement. So when they used to make a Michael for Shabbos Pachah, so they would put in the basement, it would be liquidy. They would put in the basement that it should become congealed. It would be like a jelly form. So he says that they always used to do it in Europe. That's like taking, that's parallel to us, is taking water, putting it in the freezer, and having it not congealed. The water doesn't congeal, it turns into ice. So he says, in Europe they always did it. So he says, you can't come up with a new chumra to say that it's us to make ice cubes on Shabbos. The Gemara says there that you're not allowed to take the snow and the ice and crush it in your hands. But if you have a cup of hot tea and it's too burning hot, so you take an ice cube, you take some of the snow or the ice and you put it in. So obviously it's going to melt. So to do it be a diamond, not allowed to, but to take a piece of ice and put it into the hot soup or the hot tea, that it should cool off it a little bit, that is mutter. So why isn't mutter? But if you say you're not allowed to be moilid, so why isn't mutter all of a sudden over here? So the Rishonim have two explanations why it's mutter. So some say because it's not so noticeable, because it dissolves, the ice cube dissolves in the cup of hot tea. So the whole cup is full of tea. So you can't notice, you can't tell which is the water that just dissolved, not which is with the hot tea from before. So that would only be mutter if you take the ice and you put it into hot tea. Let's say I take water and I put it into into the freezer. So then it is noticeable. It was water before, now it's a solid. Or let's say they had a bowl full of ice cubes, and then after an hour of sitting and eating, all the ice cubes melted. So the mamish know, not that they put ice cubes into water, not that they filled up the bowl with water, they put the ice cubes into water. They had a bowl that just had ice cubes in it. And now all the ice cubes melted and it turned into water. So then it is noticeable, it is nikar. All the solid turned into liquid. And other Rishayim say that the reason why it's mutter, it's usur to take the snow and to crush it, but it's mutter to take the ice cube and to put it into the hot water, because you're not doing it biadayim. Whenever you don't do biadayim, it's mutter. So here also you're not doing biadayim. If you would say that there should have been an issur of putting water into the freezer because of moilid, because you're making a parim chadosh, making ice cube, but you're not doing it biadayim. You're putting it into the freezer, and the freezer, it's going to happen by itself. That should be similar to taking the ice cube and throwing it into the cup of hot water. So that should depend on the two biurim that the Rishonim give. Moshe said that it's mutter, but others all that it's aser. So there's still what to discuss. Yeah, where is that Gemara? Where's that Gemara about? I forgot already where the Gemara is.
The ice cube melts, you put some more water in, and then it's not nicker anymore.
Okay, then it won't be nicker, then it'll be mutter. Daf me gethin, where's the Gemara with the... I forgot. Is it on Samach Zayin or Mebeis? I don't remember where it is. To look for the Gemara. You have to look for the Gemara about washing the dishes. That's a Gemara. You're permitted to wash dishes on Shabbos because the dirt is not part of the dish. That's not an Isser of Memachik. The dirt is stuck on the top. So the same thing, you remove the dirt from your teeth, that should have been Muta, the Pashtos. Then there's Gemara about squeezing the snow. I forgot already where it is. Okay, yeah.
Would pouring liquid onto ice be considered biadayim?
Would doing what?
Pouring liquid onto the ice be biadayim. Putting ice into liquid is not necessarily biadayim, because the liquid's really doing it. But if you put the liquid onto the ice, isn't that more biadayim?
I don't think so. You mean I'm pouring hot liquid or cold water?
Hot.
Hot. Ah. Could be. I don't know. Got to go through all these dinim. Yeah. You got to find the Gemara. Yeah.
So, Rebbe, would this be applicable to the foamy soap that he's talking about? Because it's still...
Oh, sorry. Yeah, you started to ask about the foam. So, Moshe Feinstein writes, he personally has a chumrah that he doesn't use the liquid soap because he makes bubbles out of it. And he personally is machmer for himself that's considered moilid. That you're changing the state, just like you're not allowed to change from a solid to a liquid. So he thought maybe you're not allowed to change from a liquid to bubbly, but he holds mikra din, it's really mutam. He writes in his shuva, that's just his personal chumra. He holds a mikra din, it's really mutam. Yeah.
Nun aleph on a base.
Emir askin sashalik. That's it. The last three lines in the perek. The last three lines in the fourth paragraph, Nun Aleph on the base. You're not allowed to squeeze the snow. That's the machlokes the Rambam and Rashi. And within Rashi, the two pshatim, does he mean molid or does he mean nolad? Rashi, the way it says by us, Mishum dekav molid b'shabbos, domi l'malocha, shibori hamayim ha'elu. Simple pshat in Rashi is that it's molded, but the Rashbo quotes the Rishayim, who understood Rashi differently. They understood Rashi meant that it's muktza of nolad. And then, noisel etoch hakos, why is it permissible to put an ice cube into a container of liquid? Is it because it happens nimoyach me'elov, or because it's not nikar? So Rashi writes nimoyach me'elov, and other Rishonim say because it's not nikar. Yeah. Where's the other Gemara about washing the dishes on Shabbos? Forgot what that is. Okay, we'll have to find that too.
So, What about to use Purell first? Second, it's bubbly and it gets absorbed into the skin.
What happens first? It becomes bubbly, yeah.
And then it gets absorbed into the skin.
Becomes bubbly. Rav Moshe says he personally has a chumer, but he writes Mikra Din, it's really mutter. He doesn't really consider that. But it gets absorbed, makes a new smooth surface. No. As a medical, prevents you from getting an infection. No. It doesn't heal anything, it just prevents you from getting an infection. That's not a nisa refuah. That's not a nisa refuah. It doesn't make a smooth surface, I don't think. That shouldn't be a problem.
More about washing the dishes is on
Kufyut Ches Amud Aleph. No, that's, I think this is also on an Amud Beis. Let's see. Kufyut Ches about washing dishes on Shabbos HaChanuk. Yeah, the second half. Tana Ban Kavish Achabem Iris Madichan Lechabem Shach Shachris Madichan Lechabem Tzarem Tzarem Madichan Lechabem. It's an Isser HaChana. You're not allowed to do a Chana. But where's the Gemara that it's not an Isser? That's one price. Then there's another Gemara on an Amud Beis, I think also at the end of a Perek. I think it's also at the end of a Perek that there's no Isser of Memachik. Memachik is if you sandpaper down the rough surface of the wood, because the rough surface is part of the wood. But here the dirt is stuck to the dish. So there's no Isser Memachik on that. That's a Gemara somewhere else. This is the Gemara about HaChana. Not allowed to wash dishes on Shabbos from Mitzvah Shabbos. That's an Issa HaChana. HaChana is also Mid Rabbanan. HaChana Shein Bo Malacha is an Issa Mid Rabbanan. It's not an Issa Deraisa. It's an Issa Derabbanan. Let's say you want to set the table on Yontif for Shabbos. So if you make an Erev Tavshilin, you're allowed to set the table. What if you forgot to make an Erev Tavshilin? So to set the table, the Gemara says, Gemara has a whole discussion. How can you make an Erev Tavshilin to permit you to cook on Yontif for Shabbos? But it's an Issa Deraisa. There's a Heter Echel Nefesh to cook what you're going to eat on Yontif. But to cook on Yontif, to eat it on Shabbos, should be an Issa Deraisa. The Gemara has a whole sugya, whole discussion in Pesachim. But what if you're going to do something on Yontif for Shabbos? You're just going to set the table. To begin with, it's only an Issa Derabbana. So for that, there's no question. You make an Erev Tavshilin, so for sure it's mutter. Erev Tavshilin is only the Rabbanon. So the Gemara says, Erev Tavshilin can't be Matar and Issa Deraisa, but it can be Matar and Issa Derabbanon. So to set the table on Yontif for Shabbos would be Mutter. To set the table on Shabbos for Mitzvah Shabbos, that's an Issa Achana. That's what the Gemara, the Braisa and Kufyat Chesam and Alab says. You're not allowed to wash the dishes. You're washing the dishes in cold water. You're not doing any malocha. So to do Achana on Shabbos for Mitzvah Shabbos, that's an Issa Derabbanon. So to set the table on Yontif for Shabbos, only Nisa de Rabbanon to begin with. So you make an Erev Tavshilin, that's not a problem. Only time it's a problem is if you're going to cook on Yontif for Shabbos. So that's a whole problem. So Gemara has a whole discussion. Why should the Erev Tavshilin help? Erev Tavshilin is only de Rabbanon. How could it be Matar and Nisa de Rais? So the Gemara has a whole discussion. Why is it Mutar? Why does it help? Oh. Nun Amar Aleph, that's the Gemara. I quote it in my Sefer? Okay. Where is it? Bakol chafenes akelim chutz mikle kesef begartikon. Why? Kimin ofer shigol b'chavush al yain karim la alum liikat tikon kliya. Kume machik. Rashi says, if you have a silver kli, what's the Rashi? It's around 7 lines from the bottom. So if you have a silver kli and it has a rough surface, and you use something to rub the surface of the kli, you'll be memachek. You'll be removing part of the metal and make a smooth surface. So that you're not allowed to do because you're removing actually part of the metal. But to wash the dirty dishes with the detergent, that says you're permitted to because the dirt, the schmaltz or the bones or whatever, is dirt that's stuck to the kli. That's like the dirt stuck to the teeth. So that's not an iser of memachik. Memachik is only if the thing itself, if you're removing part of the thing itself. Yeah. Okay. So that's nun amid aleph on the bottom. That sometimes you're a violation on the machik. That's the first wide line on the amid in Rashi. If you're actually moving part of the metal itself to make the surface smooth, but just to remove the dirt, the logar lekesef, Rashi says, then there's no reason. So that was the one gemara. That's important. The other gemara was where nun aleph on the base was the other gemara about squeezing out the snow. Squeezing in the snow till it melts. Yeah. So where are we? We got to go way up to. Ayin Dala on the base. How do we get involved in this? We started a Tosefta, yeah. Rish Lakish was commenting on this Tosefta, and Ayin Dala on the base. A Tolish is Hakonav is in violation of Gozes. Okay. Valkotma, if he cut it to size, a specific size, a violation of Mechatech B'mida. Mechatech B'tolish B'mida is an Issa Mechatech. The original Mechatech is if he has a piece of leather and he wants to cut it to size because he wants to make a pair of shoes, he wants to make a jacket or something. So that's Mechatech B'mida is a Malocha. And Memareit, if he makes it smooth by removing all of the feathers, is Chai Meshum Emachik. To make something, to make a rough surface smooth by removing part of the thing itself, that's Memachik. And to take a rough surface and to make him smooth by adding polish, by adding something to it, that's Memarech, told the Memachik. That's on the next daf. That's on Ein Hema Beis, where the Gemara has by the tiny letter Hey. Memareach is a told the Memachik. It's he'll put on, person has an infection, he's going to put on some, shmir something on. So that's an Issa de Rabbanan to put on refuah. Why do they prohibit refuah? So the Gemara says two reasons. One, Gzer Hashem Yishachik Samamanim, he may grind up, there's a Moloch of Tochein. You're not allowed to do Tchina on Shabbos. Not allowed to do Tchina on Shabbos. Gzer Hashem Yishachik Samamanim, he may grind up, he used to grind up herbs in order to prepare the medication. Gzer Hashem Yishachik Samamanim, it may lead to Tochein. Then the Gemara says there's another reason. He may smear the salve on top of the wound. If you take a pill, you're not smearing any salve. But they prohibited even to use a hot water bottle, even to straighten out the legs of a baby. Anything that's a refuah, an action of a refuah, even though you're not using a dova hamarape, just a person has a bellyache, and he uses a hot water bottle that he shouldn't feel the pain. So that's a discussion in the Gemara in the Shulchan Aruch that should be an isar of refuah b'Shabbos. Yeah. So they yasa because of memareach. Sometimes you'll smear the salve on and make a new smooth surface. That's an isa memareach. Okay, what did Gemara have? Ita akoshev hamater. The two malachas in the Mishnah, akoshev hamater. So Gemara wants to know all the malachas were in the Mishkan and asiyas haMishkan. So where did they do kshir b'Mishkan hecha havoy? Where was this hachtavet b'Mishkan chashiv v'kari liyav? All the 39 malachas. We're all in the Mishkan. Pulas Chashuvas and Asiyas HaMishkan. Where did they have kosher in the Mishkan? Omer Rav Shekain, kosher in B'Yisaydus Aholim. Oil Moed had in the Midbar, they were traveling temporarily. They would put up the Mishkan and they would take it down. They would stay a week, 2 weeks, a month, a year, 30 years in a row. Then they would take everything down. So they used to tie the Riyas HaMishkan to the Yisaydus. They had pegs that were stuck in the ground. Then they had strings. And they would tie it to that. So that was kosher. They would make knots to hold it down. So the Gemara has a taina on Rav kosher misedus aholim. Freg the Gemara, Oma lay abaye, hahu kosher amanas lahateru. Rashi says it's not shel kayoma. It's not shel kayoma. The whole word of kosher is kesher shel kayoma. Kesher shel kayoma means the kesher. If you make an aniva, that's by definition not shel kayoma. Even if you make a bow that you plan to leave forever. You're going to leave it for 1,000 years. It's still, the tzuris ha-kesher is not shel kayama. Then you have to plan to actually, you have to make a real kesher, or gabi kesher, then plan to leave it for a significant amount of time. That's the question, how long? How long? We usually assume if you tie your shoelaces, or a woman ties a dress, and she plans to take it all, to untie everything within 24 hours, that's even mutam derabon. Within 24 hours, even mutam derabon. And if you plan to leave it indefinitely, you plan to leave it for 6 months, that's a real kesher shel kayama. Now something in between, you plan to leave it for a week or so, more than 24 hours, so then it's awesome at the rabbon. If it's aroi, it's mutarim rabbon. If it's kesher shel kayama, it's an isa deraisa. If it's a little bit aroi, a little bit shel kayama, then it's awesome at the rabbon. So the Gemara has a taina, when they tied the oil moed down to the Yesedis, that wasn't Shel Kayama. They didn't know how long they're going to leave it there. It could be that tomorrow morning they're going to take the whole thing apart and move to a new location. So how can you learn out that that's kosher from Shekin Koshim B'Yesedis Aholim? It's not Shel Kayama. That's how Rashi learns. It's not Shel Kayama. So the Gemara says no. They were making the ireas, so they would use threads. If the thread would rip, they would make a knot. So the Gemara says, all right, so you figured out kosher. Teirat tarts is kosher. Yufar emfed, you gave it teretz. Where was kosher in the Mishkan? Matam eikalamem, where did they have matir? Where did they have matir? Maybe you'll say like this. If you have two knots near each other and it doesn't look good, so shori chad, you're probably going to untie one of them. The kota chad, here Tosis on the Mishnah, and on Gimel Amud Aleph had two ways to read the Gemara. If you have a thread in the ireas and it ripped in two places, you have a knot over here, a knot over here, it doesn't look nice. So what are you going to do? You're going to untie both of them and then take the two ends of the thread and tie them together? Is that what it means? Shori chad v'kota chad means I'm going to untie both of them. I'm going to untie both of the knots and tie the two loose ends together. That's how you read it. Or you say no. Shori chad means I'm going to untie one knot and leave the other knot the way it is. V'kota chad doesn't mean I will make a knot. It means I will leave. Those are the two pshatim that Tosis says. Tosis wasn't sure whether matir, when you untie a knot, is an iser, or is it only an iser? Matir amanas likshur. If I untied a knot because I wanted to tie something else over here, I untied this knot because I want to make a different knot. What if you did matir shalo amanas likshur? So often matir shalo amanas likshur is going to be mekalkel. What, you untied a knot? But over here, so that was one way to read the Gemara. When you have trei kitrei, bahadi hadadi, two knots, and the same thread near each other doesn't look nice, so shori chad, he'll untie one and leave the other one. So it's matir shalai amanas likshar. Matir shalai amanas likshar, because it's misakin, it doesn't look good with two knots, so he unties one knot, and he just leaves the other knot. So matir shalai amanas likshar is also malocha. Do you say no? Shori chad really is labdavka, means he's going to untie the both knots and remove the middle piece of thread. The kota chad is going to make one knot. Instead of having two knots, going to make one knot for the two loose ends. And then he did matir amanas likshur. So that's what Tosis is not sure how to read the Gemara. So the Gemara tainis that that doesn't make any sense. Ashta defna melch basav damer oisim kei fna melch ma'am ha'kodesh bocha oisim. How do you do? Hakurei no lefecha secha. How could they do like that? A king, a human being, wouldn't want curtains like that, that have sloppy curtains, they have knots. Even if it has one knot, he wouldn't. That's a taina against the initial pshat of Abaya. Abaya said, she can argue with Nivskalam Nimo, kosher Moses. So Rabbi said, oh, it's a good teretz on kosher, how are you going to fire in from Mata? Now, the Gemara taina is not a good teretz on kosher. It's not a good teretz. If Bas of Adam, you wouldn't do that. A king, a normal king, wouldn't have knots in his curtains. It doesn't look nice. Elo the Gemara said, Elam HaRabba, no, the whole pshat that Rabbi said is wrong. Can't be that in the ireas they left knots. Elam HaRabba, Tem Rabbe, Rabbi Ela, Rabbi Loi, Shekein Sodei Chalozen, Kosherim and Matirim. When they made the nets in order to catch the Chalozen, they had to tie knots. So that was a real Kesher Shel Kayama. And sometimes they would untie the knots. The net would be too big. So that's kosher mate was in the tzadeh ha-chalozen. Yeah. How do you catch the chalozen? To catch the chalozen, the Gemara says, on the next daf, Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara quotes a tosefta right in the middle of Ayin Hem and Aleph. They quote the tosefta, tzad chalozen, apot enechai valachas, tzeda, yechai mishum tzeda, if you trap the chalozen. Tosis quotes the last line in Dima Maschala, tzad chalozen. Ein Heim in Aleph. Tzorechion, the Birushalmi Mashma, the Tzad Chalos, and not Mechaim Mishim Tzeda. How do you deal with this contradiction between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi? The Bavli quotes a Tosefta, that a Tzad Chalosan is Chai Mishim Tzeda. Hapotza, when you squeeze out the Trelis, that's a Machlekes, Rabbi Yudin and Tanakame, Rabbi Yudin and Chachamim, where the Chai Mishim Disha. Ein Disha, we can do the Karka. But atzot chalazen, that's given in the Tosefta, that the Bavli quotes that it's an Isat Seidon. Yerushalmi says there's no Isat Seidon. What it's a machlek is the Bavli and Yerushalmi. What is the Malach of Tzeda? What is the Malach of Tzeda? So in Bitzah there's a machlek of Satanayim towards the end of Beitzah. What if I have a bird that's flying around and then I trap the bird flies into the window and I close all the windows, I close all the doors, the bird can't run out. So the bird is trapped, he's unhappy, but I don't have shlita over the bird. I took away the bird's freedom, but I don't have shlita over him. So that's a machlek of Satanayim. What's the definition? That's what the Egelei Tal points at. The fundamental machlek is, what's the definition of tzeda? Tzeda means the animal was free, and now the animal is no longer free to run around, to roam around at its will. Or no, I now have shlita over the animal. So if I trapped a bird in a big house, and the bird can run away, I don't have shlita over it. So that's a machlek of Satanayim. Yeah, what if you have a turtle? Turtle's walking down the street. It'll take him 10 hours till he gets to the corner. I run and I trap the turtle. So is that an Isur of Tzeda? It's Nitzad V'yamed. It wasn't running away anywhere. Let's say you have a domesticated animal. Have a kitten. The dog, whatever. Have a pet, whatever. The guy has a farm, he has animals. How does he lets the animals graze on Shabbos, then they go into the house and he closes the door. When he closes the door, he's in violation of Tzeda. No, they're domesticated animals. They're not running away anywhere. They're not gone anywhere. They're staying here. They're used to staying here. So that's not a Malach of Tzeda. So if you have a turtle, that takes forever till it gets anywhere. So there's no Tzeda. That's the Shadda. What is the Chalazim? What is the Chalazim? What exactly is something that's found in the Mediterranean? Some kind of a sea animal that they find in the Mediterranean. So for many years they thought it's a fish. The Gemara says dag, Rashi, the Rambam, they always write that it's a dag. Does a dag necessarily mean that it's a fish, what we call a fish, that has fins and scales? So the Nadi Behuda has all tshuva. He's not for the Nadi Behuda's son, has long arichas on this. Is it necessary that the chalazon should be a kosher animal? Maybe it can even be a trefer dag. Why? What's the issue? Because we have a Gemara in Bamei Madlikin, in the second paragraph, Gemara has Gemiri. We have a tradition Halacha Moshe Mitzinai, the Luhuchshu LaMalacha Shemaim Alor Behem Torah Belvad. Gemara talks about the Tachash that was in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Gemara has a discussion: was the Tachash a kosher animal or not? So the Gemara says, take a look now. Check to see if it's Malagem, if it's Parsim. The Gemara says, Tachash doesn't exist anymore. It only existed in the days of the Mishkan, and that's all. So the Gemara has a discussion. Was it a kosher animal? The Gemara says, it must have been kosher, because they used Oros Choshim for the Mishkan. In Gemiri, we have a tradition, the Luhukshu, the Malach HaShemayim, Elor Behemah Torah Belvat. It must be that it's a Behemah Torah. If it didn't have Malagem, if it's Parsim, you wouldn't be allowed to use the hides for the Mishkan. That's a Gemara. So that's a Shaila. Does it necessarily follow that the Chalazon has to be a kosher animal? Because if it would be treif, how can you use the Tcheles for the Big Dekuna? How can you use the Tcheles? So the Nadi Behuda raises a question, and his son talks about it more bariches. His son, Nadi Behuda's son, wrote a whole essay in German on this. They put out years ago an Oruch. The Oruch is a dictionary, like what do you call Jastra. So they put out an Oruch with comments. So they have long comments from Rabbi Yehuda's son. And he has in the Tshuvas, I think, that Rabbi Yehuda has a Tshuva and the son has a Tshuva. And then they have a long Oruch in German, in the German translation of the Oruch. Yeah, so what's the Shaila? Maybe I should say Chazus Alav Milsi. Maybe you're not allowed to use Or Behem Tmeo. The or is mamish, the hide. You're going to use the orist choshim. The tachash has to be kosher because you can't use orist choshim if the tachash is a non-kosher animal. Here, he's just using the trelas to dye the strings of the tzitzis, to dye the big dekuna. You have to have trelas v'agama telashani, sheish, v'yizim, and so on. It's just to dye the stuff. So maybe I should say chazus ala milsi. That's a discussion in the end of Bava Kama, towards the end of Bava Kama. Do you consider here, I'm wearing a jacket. So the jacket they put in dye to make it whatever color it is. I'm not sure. I think it's dark blue. So do you consider the dye if it's BN? Well, no, the dye is not BN. The dye is absorbed in the cloth. The cloth is BN. The dye is not BN. So that's when the Gemara calls a lashon. They say chazusa milsehi. The color that's absorbed in the beged is considered as if it's BN. Or chazusa la milsehi. It's not considered as if it's BN. It's balut. So the Yehuda with the son raised this issue, possibility that maybe the chalozain doesn't have to be a kosher animal. Now the latest they claim, based on Rav Herzog's dissertation, he claimed that the trelis is a little a snail. So a snail is not kosher. It doesn't have snapper v'kaskesis. Whatever swims in the river doesn't have snapper v'kaskesis, is treif.
This Tosafot seems to think that the chalozain is not an actual fish, though, right? First half of the Tosos talks about why you type in his neshama, because if you take a fish out of water and it dries out, that's in his neshama of the fish.
Yeah.
But here, a snail doesn't die when you can pull it out of water.
It does not die.
I don't think so. I think the trunculus can live on land. I think it's amphibious.
Ah. Okay. Okay. So Tosos thought that it was a fish that's going to die if you take it out of the water. Okay.
When you take out the dye from the animal, then you're killing the animal.
When you're squeezing out the dye, yeah.
When that's when
yeah,
it.
That's the Gemara, the next Tosafot talk about that. Aren't you killing the animal when you squeeze out the dye? Why is not in Tilis Neshama? Tosafot says just to take it out of the water should be in the Tilis Neshama, yes. He says that shouldn't apply to a snail, okay? Could be that Tosafot apparently thought that it was a fish. That's the Loshon of the Rishonim. Probably a Loshon of Midrashim also like that. Chalazin is a dog, but a dog, that's the question. Maybe a dog doesn't necessarily mean a fish. It means some sea animal.
Just a question. So the Talachash, they found, it came to them in the Midbar, but how did they get the Chalazin if they're in the middle of the desert?
I don't know. Here the Gemara says, Bayasan, I'm Dalal and a base, that they had to make nets. She came to Sodei Chalazin, Koshim and Matim. They sent people. They sent them to the Mediterranean in order to go fishing for the Chalazin. I don't know. So that's a shaila. If the chalazin is a snail, so it's like a turtle. It doesn't go anywhere. So how is there an iser of tzeda? That's what they tie in. How can anybody in his right mind say the chalazin is that snail? A snail is like nitzad v'yomed. Yeah, it's nitzad v'yomed. If it's below the water, then you have to go scuba diving. So then it'll be tzeda. Okay. We better continue tomorrow. Okay, we gotta go around to Dalman.